verse number 11, familiar passage. Let's read it together collectively down through verse number 16. Verse number 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Praise God. There's a promise about the house of the Lord. He said, I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. Now, I want you to think about this next statement. And all of us have children, grandchildren, wherever we are in our state of life, our business, our careers. If we really take seriously what the last part of verse number 16 said, God said, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Like, well, I know that's talking about the temple in Jerusalem, but you know what is the temple right now? You know, there's not a temple there right now. And so right now we are the church. And if you think about the house that we're sitting in right now, is where we come together and we've dedicated this house to the Lord. I think sometimes we forget when we're talking, young people, when we're in and out the doors, and we're in the hallways, we're talking to one another, we're checking our email, we're checking our text message. Some people, even while church is going on, they're filing through Facebook. While the teacher's trying to teach, the singers are trying to sing. You know, I don't know, just when I looked at this verse yesterday and it come back to my mind, and I thought, and God's eyes are right there. God's eyes are in this house. God's ears, that means if God's eyes, He's seeing what I'm doing. He's hearing what I'm saying. Oh, hallelujah. And if I'm reading His word, He's seeing that. If I'm engaged in the message or in the service, He's seeing that. But if my mind is somewhere else, He also is seeing that. Praise God. Well, I'm not trying to bring condemnation down necessarily. I'm just trying to get us to understand a positive light that the needs that we have in our life, if we pray about them in church. I think we ought to pray without ceasing. I think we should pray continually. But I want to show you something. There's a promise that we can latch hold of and get a hold of as far as it relates to our prayers being answered that are prayed in the house. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to be here in these prayer meetings and pray collectively. I know that we should have and we must have a closet prayer life. We must have a personal prayer time. We must have time that we spend alone with nobody else. Just that, yes, there should be a time we spend with our family in prayer. There should be a time that we pray in church. There's a time we pray collectively. And there also should be a time where we pray just only alone in our closet by ourselves. And all of those items that I just mentioned have promises of their own. Can somebody say amen? Oh, yes. But what I want to talk to you about today, there also is a promise in us coming together as a church and praying together. Hallelujah. There's not just one kind of prayer. There's not just one place to pray, and no other kind of prayer is effective. They all are effective in their time and in their place. Hallelujah. And God says in so many words, if you will call, I will answer. Hallelujah. Solomon has completed this house, the house of the Lord, as well as his own house. That is a great, a monumentous thing that as it relates to infrastructure inside the kingdom or the nation of Israel. Amen. God had always to this point had dwelt in tabernacles, and he had said of himself that he dwelt in the thick darkness. But Solomon had made for him a house, a place where his name would be continually. Amen. And so the infrastructure, structure, the wealth that has been added to the nation because of the temple that is now completed, as well as this beautiful house that Solomon has built for he and his family as well. Praise God. He is now seen, Solomon now is now seeing the fulfillment of not only his own dreams, but also the dreams and the hopes of his father David. Hallelujah. Now at this wonderful moment, there are thousands that are gathered together. This day will mark time. This day will mark time. This day will mark history. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. It's making a change in the nation of Israel. It has to do with times. God's fulfilling his promises. Hallelujah. If you would go and read in the chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, you'll see the illustration of Solomon. That day when all, and it looks like all the nation, I wished I could portray this and we could get the picture of what it was really like. I know it's totally different. A method of worship. It's totally different now the way we do than it was under the ceremonial law and the way it was set up and designed for the worship of the Old Testament. Nevertheless, thousands and thousands of people had gathered into Jerusalem for the dedication of this great and beautiful house that Solomon had built. Amen. David had laid in store. He had stored iron. He had negotiated for a timber and cedars to be brought into Israel. Oh, I'm telling you, it took a lot of doing. It took a lot of building materials. This was not something that was just trumped up in a moment or two or a week or two or even a year or two. The plans had been in place for this infrastructure for a long time. Amen. But now, praise God, it has come into fulfillment. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you're praying, if you're holding on, if you're believing God, if you're waiting on a miracle, amen, the longer you have to wait may just mean how great and more a monumentous that answer to that prayer will be. Amen. All the nation from all the tribes are gathered in Jerusalem this day for this dedication. Amen. And Solomon prayed. I wished I could portray it. I'd like for you to get it in your mind. Here's this place.
It's 5 cubits by 5 cubits, 5 cubits wide, 5 cubits deep. So that would be about a 10 by 10. It's about 6 foot. I would describe it as a platform about 6 feet off of the ground, 3 cubits high, 5 cubits wide, and 5 cubits deep. Amen. All of these multitudes are gathered into this square. Amen. No doubt as far back as people can, trying to peer above the other and trying to see what's going on. Amen. Are y'all getting the picture? 120,000. Amen. Try to wrap your mind around that. 120,000 sheep have been sacrificed. 22,000 oxen have been sacrificed. That huge brazen altar that Solomon has built and designed and created cannot contain the blood and the sacrifices because there are so many that are being offered at one time. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Amen. God wanted those people, Israel, amen, to see the answer to that prayer. He wanted everyone that that could possibly be near enough to at least get a bite or to have a provision. Amen. All of those sacrifices that were sacrificed, they were roasted. Amen. The blood was offered. And then after that, the people partook of those sacrifices. And there was a great feast that lasted at least about 3 weeks in Jerusalem. People eating the fat. Amen. And enjoying the steaks and the veal, praise God. And all the things that God had provided. Are you getting the picture of what's happening? And here's Solomon, while all of that's going on this 6 foot platform, he gets down on his knees and he spreads his arms out and he begins to call out to an almighty God. Amen. Remember, this is marking time. This is marking history. Amen. The temple is being dedicated. The people have come from all over the nation trying as far back as they can. Amen. If you can imagine the throng of people that are trying to see what's going on in the square. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Wouldn't it have been great to have been one of those priests or one of those Levites that were in that inner circle that would have been up close and been able to hear the words of Solomon and to see the blood and to see the sacrifices. But you know, thousands and thousands and thousands were out of sight, not even being able to get close enough to even see what was going on. Hallelujah. Amen. But just the fact that they didn't see it, just the fact that they didn't hear Solomon praying, did not have anything to do with how God was going to answer that prayer. Amen. I wish somebody in this house would get excited about prayer. Amen. And get excited about what God can do and what God will do if the saints will come together in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. He prays in fashion as only one can do who has been given so much godly wisdom. Hallelujah. He prayed for the monarchy. You can read it in chapter 6. He prayed for judgment. He prayed for forgiveness. He prayed for the environment. He prayed for healing. He prayed for the agriculture of the nation. He prayed for the stranger. And he prayed for the captives. He prayed for the priesthood. He prayed for the saints. Amen. Think about it. The man that has more wisdom than any human being will ever have. Amen. And he knows how to ask. Another reason he's getting his prayers answered. He's not asking for himself. He's not asking for something to be heaped on him. Amen. He's praying for others. And he's believing God for others. And because he did that, God also poured out a blessing on him. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised God, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Amen. Would you all help me just a moment? Would you say the last part of that verse? "For His mercy endureth forever." Come on now. I'm trying to engage the congregation now. Would you say it again? Amen. "For His mercy endureth forever." Hallelujah. One more time. "For His mercy endureth forever." Hallelujah. The blood is in the streets. The blood is in the temple square. The house that is so beautiful is being dedicated to God. And the great wise man Solomon is praying for his people. Amen. Thank God. I know we get excited about Elijah being on Mount Carmel and God sending the fire and lapping up the sacrifice and the water. But come on here. The fire also fell when Solomon prayed and God accepted the sacrifice and revealed himself in fire. Amen. Showing I'm in control. I can answer your prayer and I'll move on your behalf. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in the house right now. Amen. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Take a moment or two. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'll do it with you. Let's worship a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Thank you because you answer prayer. Thank you because you're seeing us. Thank you because you know we're going into revival. Amen. God, you know that people have needs, and you're able to meet every one of them. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. However, had there not been a fulfillment or an answer to these prayers, we would just have to conclude it was a beautiful prayer prayed by a brilliant man in a wonderful setting, and it was all nice and lovely, and I'm so glad we was there, and I'm so glad we got to see it, and I'm so glad we got to partake of those things. Amen. But I want to tell you something. There was some long term. Amen. Somebody say long term. There was some long term effects. Amen. That would take place from this prayer that was honored by God the day the temple was dedicated and the fire came down. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. We would never know in the Word of God. Amen. No doubt that precious story that we call Daniel in the lion's den, had it not been an answer to the prayer that Solomon prayed. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You remember what I read? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Amen. I'm asking you, church, do we need healing? Do our families need healing? Does our churches need healing? Does our nation need healing? Does our politics need healing? It's yes. Amen. And who's going to pray if it's not God's people? Amen. The liberals in Washington are not going to do it. Amen. The liberal backslid church is not going to do it. Amen. I don't know who else it could possibly be besides those that know how to call on God that is going to fulfill these promises that God has made in His Word. Hallelujah. For it was that great man Daniel that stood in contempt of that Persian court, standing on this promise of what Solomon had asked God for in chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles. And when they come to him and said, don't you know the decree is signed that if any man ask any petition of any man or God or king besides this king, they'll be cast in the den of lions. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just a coincidence, brother, brother Jimmy, that Daniel, standing on this promise that I'm reading to you about today, opens his window. Amen. How many remember reading it? He opened his window toward Jerusalem. Amen. Why toward Jerusalem? Because he knew what Solomon had prayed. Amen. It's 466 years later, and Daniel's in a foreign land and being persecuted by an idolatrous king. But he said, I'm going to open my window toward Jerusalem, and I'm going to stand on the promise of what God promised he would do to Solomon the day that house was dedicated to me, and I'm going to see what God will do. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hands in the house right now. Would you help me just a little bit? Amen. Go ahead and praise God. Help me praise Him. Help me praise Him. Help me praise Him. He's worthy. Thank God He delivered Daniel. Thank God He heard Solomon's prayer. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Boy, I wish y'all just keep it up a little bit. Can you? Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on, some of you hadn't done it yet. Go on and praise Him. Hey, amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's a prayer-answering God. He knows what your needs are. He knows where you're standing right now. He knows that prayer you prayed about a long time, and the devil said it'll never be answered. You might as well give up on that one. You might as well forget about that one. You might as well mark that one off your list. It's never going to happen. But thank God, 466 years after a promise has been made, we have a young man that is willing to stand on that promise at the risk of going to the den of lions and say, I believe God answered that prayer that day. For the fire did fall from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I really believe God's trying to tell us something here today. What I want to try to show you and encourage you, that I believe it's time for us to start moving from just the asking. Come on now, church. Amen. It's time for us to start moving from just asking and move into receiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Did that sound good to anybody in the house? Whoa! Hallelujah. I know when these prayers are answered, I'll have more. And I know when these needs are met, I'll have more. But I get tired sometimes of just praying about the same thing and the same burden. Come on now. Amen. How many believe God can give us a breakthrough? How many believe God can just help us to move on right from where we are and move into that next realm? Amen. God wants to answer prayer. Amen. Oh, yes, He does. I believe Bethany's in a position to enter into some promises of effectual prayer. I want to see it. I want it to happen in this meeting. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit. I'm willing to put forth a little more effort if I can see something done. Amen. If I can stand on the promise and believe God is able to take care of these needs. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, I got to hurry. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Maybe I'm sucking all the juice out of this. Seem like maybe I may be getting more out of it than anybody else is. Yeah. But maybe I'm the one that needs it. Come on. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, And I know we preach about this often, but it makes such a wonderful point. Now about the time of Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, man, he's a very political-minded guy, and he wants to praise the applaud of men, and he's seen that went over real good, so he decided he would take Peter off. Also, amen, he proceeded further to take Peter. Amen, them were the days of unleavened bread. Amen, there's some celebration and some sacrifice that's going on inside the city. Amen, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, amen, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. Amen. I said Peter therefore was kept in prison. I said Peter therefore was kept in prison. Amen. Look here. But, amen. Amen. Come on, work with me, church. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Amen. Amen. It matters who you pray to. Amen. It matters. The one you're praying to, is he the one that's made the promises? Amen. If it is, and prayer by the church, remember, I've talked to you about closet prayer. I've talked to you about family prayer. I've talked to you about intercessory prayer in different times. Amen. But right now, I'm preaching to you in faith about collective prayer. I'm talking about church prayer. I'm talking about the church coming together. Amen. Not just 20 or 30 of the good, solid, faithful prayer warriors. I'm talking about the ones that may not have a prayer life, but would like to have one. Come on out to church and get yourself on your prayer bones and get beside somebody that does have a prayer life and see if you can't pray something through and God will work on your behalf and answer prayers. Because you're standing on the promise. I'm praying with the church. I'm standing with the church. I'm believing there's power in the saints coming together and praying to God without ceasing. Oh, man. If y'all only knew how hard I was pulling to preach this message. You know what? I'm going to preach it. I'm going to do the best I can with it. If it don't move a soul in here. But I'm believing God to give us a breakthrough and revival this week. I'm not surprised the devil's fighting, because he knows if there's any one thing that will shake hell, it's prayer. You cannot sing a revival. You cannot preach a revival. You cannot do all of these other fancy things, amen, to try to get a revival. But we can pray a revival. Oh, man, why do we not do it? We'll find all these other things. I tell you, I want to challenge somebody. I know what's going to happen. I've done this too many years. I've seen it over and over and over. People will say, we'll start prayer revival. Brother Darrell's having prayer revival. Church is having prayer revival. But I'm not going to go to prayer revival because I want to save my time and get all this stuff done. I got to get done so I can go to revival next week. Anybody guilty? We'll let those folks that really need it pray it through down there all week long. And I'm going to go ahead and get the other stuff done. I need to get done so I can go to revival. Huh? I'm going to tell you right now where revival is going to be. Revival is going to be in our prayer meeting. When people ask and inquire about the success of this church and this ministry, over and over and over and over and over and over, I point them back. If there's anything that I can attribute any one thing to, it's this prayer meeting. First week of January. And it's awful quiet, and I'm struggling and pulling, and I get that. And y'all know it too. I know we got a lot of folks out. I understand that. And we kind of feed off of that sometimes. But I'm telling you, there's enough of us in here right now. Even if we did it today, I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you to tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Before the sun goes down, I have enough confidence, the people I'm talking to right now, that we could shake hell. But if we're not careful, we'll put it off another year. And another year. And another year. And now I'm 55 years old. If I'm going to see God do anything in my ministry, I need to be seeing it happen now. Oh, come on, saints. Hallelujah. Prayer, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm talking about collective prayer. The church is praying, no doubt, throughout Jerusalem. They're having church from house to house in the city at this time. They don't really have a large building where 5,000 come together. But I can do the addition in the book of Acts. And I know by now that the apostles feel like that there's about 5,000 Christians that are in Jerusalem right now. Amen. But I can tell you for sure, there's not 5,000 people in Mary's house that night. Come on now. Amen. I don't know how many was there. There might have been 10 or 15 or 20. I don't know. I say it was very few because their houses were small, confined, no doubt, inside those walls. Amen. But what it was the power of their prayer. It was the quality of their prayer. It was who their prayer and their faith was in that made the difference. Amen. Peter's arrested. One of our apostles has already been killed. Amen. Some have said in this service about different things that motivated us to prayer because of the political system in our nation. I'm telling you, the church, at least some of them, amen, and I think probably a great multitude of the 5,000. Amen. Who knows? Brother Robbie, I say there was probably a lot of prayer meetings going on in little houses around the city, just like it was at the house of Mary. Amen. No doubt there was. Oh, hallelujah. And Peter's arrested. He's going to be killed the next day. But while the church collectively, like I'm encouraging you to do, while the church was praying, God sent an angel. Amen. It didn't matter that he had 16 soldiers that were rotating every 6 hours to make sure they stayed awake and to make sure nothing happened to Peter. But all of a sudden in the jailhouse, the angel comes in and wakes up Peter and says, "Arise and bind on your sandals. Let's get up and get out of here." And they went out of the prison. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise one more time. Amen. Thank God for deliverance. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for answering prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, some of y'all are so discouraged right now about your prayers. Would you please, Holy Ghost, help me right now. Break this yoke. Destroy this thing. In Jesus' name, where somebody is going to say right now, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to pray this thing through. I'm going to pray the walls down. I'm going to pray the stocks off. I'm going to pray the chains broke. I'm going to believe God for my family in this revival. Believe in God. Hallelujah. Amen. I wished I had more voice and strength. I'd like to make a few more little examples here. Peter's doing just fine. He's just sleeping the night away. If it goes this way, I'm not scared about going to heaven. In a few more hours, this is what I'm thinking. Peter's thinking, a few more hours, I'll be with Jesus. Not going to be long. Get through this. James done it a few weeks ago, so this is my fate. I'll just go through it and I'll be with Jesus. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, he feels that tap on the side. Amen. Thinks it's a dream or a vision of some kind. The chains just fall off of him. Oh, I wish I could help somebody. Have you ever been amazed at something you prayed and prayed and prayed about and you thought would never happen? And it looked so impossible. And the more you prayed about it, the harder they got. And the more you prayed about it, the more distant they became. But all of a sudden, when that prayer was answered, I've seen it happen time and time again around the altars. And people looked and there was such a change. And the change was so evident at that moment. And you think, that wasn't hard for God at all. Did you see how easy those chains fell off? Well, that's great. Let's just have revival in the jailhouse. But the angel's saying, no, come on. I don't want you to have revival here. I want you, come on. To get first and second ward, let's just, me and you have revival right here. Now let's keep on going. Get to the iron gate and it swings open by itself. Praise God, woo! Let's just have revival right here. Gets over to where the church is and knocks on the door. Can't get none of the church folks to even come to the gate, let him in. Finally, one little damsel realized something's going on outside. Woo! Well, praise God, somebody got the door open. Let's just have revival right here inside the gate. Praise God, we're having revival. Look here, Peter's out. You know what I'm trying to show you? I'm glad when I have revival. I'm glad when you have revival. All through the year, you testified. Different ones of us have different victories all through the year. But I tell you what I'm wanting in this revival is all of us. Not just me having a revival in the prison. Not just having a revival by the iron gate. Not just having a revival inside the gate. I'm wanting the church to all of us get inside here together. Oh, come on. Come on, that's all right. Go ahead. Worship, worship, worship. That's what I've been trying to get you to do this whole message. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, that sounds precious. I thank you. I think you're taking it in. I want to have revival. I want to have revival alone. I want to have revival if I have it all by myself. I want to have revival if nobody else does. But you know what? It'll be better when we all have it together. I'm preaching to you about the promise of collective prayer. I'm preaching to you about the promise of church prayer, of the church coming together in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, man, when that starts happening, when the church starts having revival, I'm glad you're having revival, and I'm glad you're having revival, and I'm glad I'm having revival. What about us all getting together and having revival? Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say it's the same God. Amen. Say it again. It's the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Here we are again to profit. Amen. Not just singularly, not just individually, but to profit with all. That's the kind of revival that God wants to give the church, is one that we all may profit. prophet. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Man, gifts. Brother James, can you sing that song, I Can Pray, till the walls come down, till there's healing all around? I think y'all are the ones that sing that. Maybe, I don't, whoever, if I don't have it right, somebody can help in there. Come on, let's stand, church. I apologize to you right now. I wished I could have preached better. Maybe if I'd have put a little more into it this week, maybe I could have. I'm used to having a little more of a breakthrough than what I'm getting to have this morning. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor, don't judge us on this time. Come back. Try us again sometime. Maybe I'll be doing better. Oh, Lord Jesus. I almost think sometimes that we're so satisfied with what we have. We're just happy to be where we are and happy with what we have. And really no spiritual hunger, desire to have more. If that's your attitude, you won't get any more. I feel challenged in my ministry. I feel challenged in my preaching. I prayed for y'all yesterday. I prayed that God would help me with my deliverance. Ask Him to help me with my presentation. Because it's so important. We're battling the enemy. And I am so afraid. I've been afraid of this for a long time. I think there's a lot of people. Please hear me all the way through this. I think there's a lot of people that are claiming the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you never had it. I'm not saying you never did get it. But if the Holy Ghost is not manifesting in a multitude of different ways, I know it manifests through speaking in other tongues. But that's not the only way it manifests. That's one of the evidences. Not the only one. There are many. We say in our lingo, we say that's the initial evidence. That's the beginning. The Bible don't say that, but we say that oftentimes. Because we believe the Scriptures bear that out. Come on now. Are y'all still here? I know I get dangerous when I feel this way, and I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to make anybody angry. I would like to just kind of push a little bit as far as I can without pushing you over. I would like to challenge you. Because I think there's a lot of people that say they got it back 40 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, I can have a good blessing a week or two ago, and I can come back. Seem like battle. The enemy all over again. I'm afraid there's a lot of you that are claiming it that no longer have it. Say, preacher, you're judging. Maybe I am. I see no evidence. I see no life. I see no manifestation of the gifts. Do you understand? When you just play softly there, Brother James. And maybe I'm having a teaching moment right now. The Holy Ghost is the gift that lets you operate in the gifts. And if you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you should operate in the gifts. If you're not operating in the gifts, there's no gifts, no gifts of healing, no gifts of prophecy, no gifts of tongues, no gifts of interpretations of tongues, no gift of faith. What am I to conclude? I'm afraid you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother Glenn, if I could, I would preach this so strong and so powerful. I'd like to get back here where these young folks are that think that the church and the Holy Ghost and the Free Holiness Movement and all of our standards and everything that we stand on is all a thing of the past. It's just things that people used to do and used to talk about. But it has no relevance. No relevance in my life. It's just only something that we heard about way back somewhere a long time ago. Boy, I got their attention now, don't I, Brother Wes? I tell you, I hope we have such a good revival that all this bunch right here moves up there. I love you. I love you dearly. I have confidence in you. But I'm telling you, you will function better in your spirituality. Quicker, you'll gain more ground up there than you will way back here. Come on, church, moms, dads, help me, grandmas, grandpas. Help me out now. Give me a witness. The devil, it's a lot more of an opportunity for him. That's all. I'm not preaching you under. I love every one of you. I just love you so much that I know you can put yourself in an environment where you can gain ground spiritually. And you can put yourself in an environment where the devil can steal away everything that happens in your life. That's all I'm trying to do. Coax you, encourage you to move up a little closer. The Holy Ghost is the main gift. It's not just something to make you feel energy at the youth camp. To run and shout. The Holy Ghost has been dumbed down in the Pentecostal movements. It's nothing but just something that just gets in your feet and makes you want to shout and dance. And that's all there is to it. My God, how did we pervert it so much? Yes, a lot of times, especially when you first get that infilling, it's just, man, you just feel power. And it does sometimes manifest that way. But we're having too many go to youth camp and come back in a week or two or three, and it's gone. Is it all right if I tell you a little story? Y'all want me to tell you a little story? This is where I think a lot of us live. That man that stored items in his attic. His grandkids got up there one day, Brother Frank, messing around in Grandpa's attic when he wasn't watching. And they found a box. They were old enough to read, and on the box it said dynamite. They shuttled down. They were scared. They were afraid. Talked around to each other. Grandpa has dynamite. His attic. They talked about it for days. They'd go up every once in a while and look at it. Come back down, go up and look at it. Finally, they made it all out one day. We're going to open up that box and we're going to see what's in it. Finally got the courage, thinking we lift that lid, this thing may blow up. We may just blow the whole house up in here. Grandpa's got dynamite in his attic. They finally got the courage to open the lid. The man that wrote about it said he was never so disappointed in all of his life. Nothing but a bunch of old artifacts, no articles, no papers, no books. Nothing else. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of us do. We talk about the Holy Ghost. We talk about all the power, all the manifestation, all the things that goes along with it. We got the box. It's got the name on it. But it only demonstrates something that we used to have. Moms, dads, you're struggling with your children. Our free holiness standards are under attack. Everything is opening up for debate right now. I get that. I'm not mad. I'm not. If we get upset at people asking questions, there's something wrong with us. And just because they're asking questions doesn't always mean they're challenging authority. Not always. I tell you what, I want the real deal. When you get get the Holy Ghost working in your life. Am I helping y'all? Am I making any of you hungry for it? I'd like to get some moms and dads, some grandparents. What about it? What about it, Brother Theron? Brother Roger? What about the pastor? Am I getting up there on Sunday morning like I have been today? Woo, praise God, I feel good. But it's not translating anyplace else. Got dynamite in my attic. Boy, I really had it back there years ago. We really had a breakthrough, man. We had revival. That revival back there is not saving these kids. Not doing it. We got to get the real deal. I'm believing God with you, brother. I know some things you're praying about, and I am too. I'm standing with you. Let's come on in here and get some skin in the game. Pull the lid off of that thing. It's to profit with all. It's not just for me to have the Holy Ghost so I can say, I got it. Praise God. I'm telling you, Brother J.W., I'm telling the truth. I've heard people pray through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get up and testify and say, well, now I can say I got it. God, I'm glad. But it seemed to be that's all there was. They finally got where they could say, I got it. And then we dumbed it down to just something that makes us feel good and have sends chills up and down our back every once in a while. But it's more than that. It wants to let you in to operate in the gifts. I've had you standing way too long. Lift your hands right now. Ask God to help us and touch us today. These altars are open. Brother James is going to sing. All of us can pray. I'm challenging you to prayer. I'm encouraging the church to prayer. I'm encouraging myself to prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Go ahead and sing, brother. still believe in restoration. I believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost.